When the warehouse workers gather, you know we gon' be lit. Talking about all matters, dropping that knowledge shit. Cause we get it started, heat the best way. Crack it open with the drink of the day. Then we got Nerd Corner, Josh spitting facts. All types of nerd stuff, all up in the act. But when it comes to females, you know who hit the scene. Ricardo letting you know how we do his thing. Yeah, cause this ain't just some chit chat. Nah, this the Warehouse Rats.
Hello, hello, hello. This is the Warehouse Rats podcast. I'm one of the hosts, Josh, joined by, and always, Mr. Ricardo.
Thank you, sir. I just want you to know that I've been here for the last 38 episodes, and I haven't missed an episode yet.
That's amazing. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So, how's it going, buddy?
You know what? I'm doing fantastic. Today is Friday, and tomorrow is Saturday, and with the grace of God, I'll be here tomorrow. Not here, but, you know.
Oh, just like alive.
Yeah, alive. Yeah, there
you go. All right.
It's my birthday weekend, so we're going to get a little turnt up, as the young folks said.
So, turnt. So, turnt. Like taint, but with an er.
Sure. Taint up.
No. Anyway, moving on. Alcohol. So, today's drink of the day is something a little special. Now, we do have beer as a backup. But
I'm excited.
What we're drinking today is just your standard honey mead that my wife and I made. So, we started...
Hold on. Before I don't mean to interrupt you. Is your wife here today?
No, she's at work.
Oh, damn. I wanted my birthday hug.
Oh. That's weird. We'll talk about that later. Anyway. So this is just like a standard honey mead. We're just learning how to make it and do stuff like that. So it's definitely a new, exciting and interesting process.
Right.
So this is our very first batch.
Have you tasted it at all?
I have tasted this one, yes.
Am I gonna
realize that this bottle's almost gone, right?
Oh, well, I mean, yeah.
It was full at one point in time.
All right.
So, season two, episode 8.
Ocho.
Cheers.
Ocho cinco.
Sure.
Oh, I could taste the honey.
Mm-hmm.
It has a really good taste. Now, there is a little fermentation, fermentative taste.
This in... fermentation processes or time or whatever, this is what a lot of people who make mead would say. This is a very young mead.
Oh yeah, for sure.
We did like the bare minimum fermentation just to see if the process we were doing of mixing everything worked, and so far we realized that worked. So we used the same process for our next batch, which is like 3 gallons.
Right.
Now we're going to separate into 3 different jugs, but then these ones we're actually going to add fruit for different types of flavor.
Right.
We also used a different type of a yeast, which will give it a drier taste.
Because
my wife and I, we both dry more. we enjoy more drier beverages, especially when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Now, when you talk about dry, my assumption is it's kind of like wine, where it's a little bit less sweet, but more kind of on an acidic side, maybe, or no?
That one I'm not 100%.
Okay, well, that's besides the point.
We like drier stuff, like especially when you have like a lot of wines will have even little dials on on the labels where it'll have a sweet side and a dry side, and then it'll have like a line or an indication of where this wine falls.
Right.
see, the funny thing is with the with wine, we enjoy the sweeter wines.
Right.
But with mead, just because it has not a different taste, but it settles in your mouth differently.
Mm-hmm.
And a traditionally sweet mead is super sweet.
Like, yeah.
Like unpleasant, almost sweet. We had one that... it was like the flavor was good, but it was just too sweet. I'm like, I'm having a hard time enjoying this because of how sweet it is. So we definitely enjoyed the more dry ones.
Yeah, it tastes, like I said, it tastes really good. Like at first that fermentation part kicks in first to me. Mm-hmm. It kind of reminds me of a kombucha. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had kombucha before?
I have not.
It's I don't know exactly what they put in there, to be honest, but it's kind of it's a Asian fermentation, like a healthy probiotic stuff, you know, really healthy stuff that's you know, that's supposed to be good for your gut, your health gut, your inside, whatever. But right. you can definitely taste the fermentation, the vinegary aspect of it.
Yep.
Depending on how long it's, I guess it depends on how long it's been fermenting right. for. It, that's how it's gonna taste. I mean, it doesn't develop any alcohol, from what I know, because you know it's for health wise.
Right. Yeah. After the first fermentation, we switched it or racked it, how they call it, into the bottle.
Right.
And then we did the second and last fermentation in the bottle. Now, we had it in a gallon jug, or however many gallons. I think it's just a gallon jug.
Right.
And when I took the top off, I went to go...
Take the top off.
Shut up. And so I went to go smell it just to see what it smelled like.
Right.
And it was like a waft of like alcohol air. And I was just like, whoa. Wow. I'm like, that's insane. But we have this special little, it kind of looks like a thermometer, but it isn't. But it's like glass and about yay big. Mm-hmm. You put it in your test tube, and wherever it rests, there are numbers on it that generally tells you your alcohol level.
Right.
This one, I believe, came in on the first one, it came in at like a 10%.
Okay.
The second one came in at a 5. Really? So at some point, either our first read, well, either one of the readings was wrong. So it either is a 10 or it's a genuine 5.
Right.
But I also think it was the type of yeast we use, because depending on what kind of yeast, that also will determine how high of an alcohol content. The second batch we did, our first reading, I want to say, was between 15, 17. But that also, because the yeast that we used is supposed to get a higher alcohol content.
Right.
So I'm excited for the next batch, just because we're going to do our own custom flavors and stuff like that.
So what got you going, or not going, but interested in actually making your own mead?
Partly I've always been interested in like trying to like brew my own beer, but there's a lot of like boiling of your stuff involved, and that's where it can easily go wrong. With this, there aren't as big of spots like that where you can go wrong.
Right.
There are things I think the biggest thing they say with me that you can do to go wrong is you don't sanitize properly.
Oh.
And then you end up making very expensive and high quantity vinegar. That's about where you'll get.
Right.
But mostly it's because my wife and I realized, you know, hey, we don't have something that we do together. That's, well, you know, just for,
well,
we're not going to talk about, okay, as like a hobby.
Oh, okay.
Let me put it that way. We don't have any hobbies that we share together. And, you know, she and I both like enjoy having a drink together and stuff like that. I'm like, you know, so I think she was even the one who came out and said, hey, let's look in to see what it would take to make alcohol. And it's like, well, I'm pretty sure if we try to make like whiskey or something, that's illegal. You know, so, and then we realized you can get home beer kits, but my wife doesn't like beer.
Oh, okay.
And so we're like, hey, what about mead? You know, that's a thing. So we started buying mead, and we, you know, tasting it, and realized, hey, this is pretty good, and this is something we think we could really get into. And sure enough, it's been very enjoyable.
I guess I'm really surprised, like, how good of a flavor it has compared, I mean, just for the three ingredients to just be there. You know, I mean, it's really weird. You would think it wouldn't taste as good. I mean,
it's the ingredients. It's definitely surprising, like, especially when because what, like, how we did it, we put our water in first and then poured the honey in, and then you mix it up until does honey dissolve in water?
Or I mean,
whatever it does. When it mixes together, let's say that, you can smell it. like you can smell that honey right. in the water. And but the funny thing is that smell tastes nothing like this. So the fact that we went from something very basic and simple, mixed it together, sealed it up, and then stuck it in a dark cupboard for shit, how long was it? I think our first fermentation was a month. And then second fermentation was 3 weeks. Mostly, I think we just because we were getting impatient. We really wanted to try it. But, I mean, it's a fun process.
And do you boil it, though, at all? Or
nope.
No? You just throw it all in there and just hopefully it mixes correctly? Because I know honey in itself is really the viscosity of it.
It takes a lot of mixing.
Yeah.
With our second batch, we did a lot more mixing just to make sure that it broke up enough before we added our yeast and stuff like that. But no, it's simply as water, honey, and yeast, and you mix it together and then stick it in the cupboard. But again, one of the biggest things that I have been researching and finding out that you have to sanitize everything, absolutely everything, just because
you don't want that bad bacteria in there.
No, and that's one thing. Like you can go to, like say you go to YouTube and you have 10 serious channels all about mead making. Chances are all 10 of them will say sanitize. Wow. You can put whatever flavoring and whatever blah 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 this or that, if you do not sanitize properly and store properly, you're fucked.
Wow.
and see, the thing is, the supplies and stuff aren't really that expensive. The most expensive part about the whole thing is the honey. That is the most expensive part about doing this.
I know some people.
Oh yeah. But even so, there was a couple of sources we were looking into to getting some honey. There was one place for £9. It was gonna cost us like almost $100.
Holy shit.
Right.
Yeah, and honey's really expensive. I think that there's a, I don't know how true it is now, but I know that for a long time there is a shortage of honeybees.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially what's going on is with so many pollutants out in the air and, you know, like a lot of farmers, you know, using certain pesticides, mm-hmm. I think it does kill the bees itself.
Right.
Not only that, but one of the other biggest reasons is it's such a monocultural thing, not cultural, but a culture thing where like, so what they do is essentially, from the little that I know and research, which is very minimal, bees are kind of like humans in a sense, the way they're eating patterns, right? So if you have, a whole bunch of fields with the same type of crop,
mm-hmm.
It's kind of like us, right? So you love pizza or you love burgers, but you can't eat burgers every day, you know what I'm saying? Like every day for a good portion of your life, you can't do that because you will go crazy.
Right.
And that's what they say is a lot of times, like, especially like in certain zones, you know, like a lot of, like, for example, where I grew up, blueberries are like the most dominant thing. So like people or the bees themselves, I mean, they like blueberries, but if they don't get rotated to other crops, like, dandelions or whatever, flowers, roses, they tend to die because they don't get that nutrition. They don't get that equal nutrition.
Interesting.
Fun fact. You didn't know that, did you?
My mind is blown.
Also, I want to say that I do have an update.
Oh,
on the Hansara soup lady.
She loves you, doesn't she?
I don't think so. I proposed and it didn't go so well.
Oh no!
No, I'm just playing. No, so check this out. I went the other day. I came back from, you know, visiting my parents. And I was really excited. I was, you know what? I'm going to give her one last shot. Right? This is how fucked up. It wasn't meant to be.
Okay.
So I go. I, she was there by herself with her husband, I'm assuming. And so she's like, how can I help you? And I was like, hey, so can I get, you know, Hansara soup and some. And then she gets a phone call in the middle of my sentence. And she starts taking the fucking order from the person. I'm just like, are you fucking serious right now? Like, to me, it was really disrespectful. Like, I understand you want to at least tell me, like, hey, or vice versa. I'll be like, hey, can I take, I'm going to take this call real quick. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? Right. Like, just apologize. Well,
if she's in the middle of taking an order, pick up the phone and say, hi, so-and-so Chinese restaurant. Can you hold, please?
Yes, exactly.
And then get back to the customer you're already helping.
Yes.
Unless she was expecting you to keep with your order, and then she wrote, if she could write two orders down at one time, that'd be crazy.
Right. That, I don't know.
That would have blown my mind.
Yeah, I so what ended up happening, so I was just like, you know, when we were, I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt, I took out my debit card, and she was still taking that order from that random person over the phone. And I must have overreacted or something, but I just walked out. I just said, you know what, fuck this. I'm not going to, I put my card in my, in my wallet and just walked out. And I went to the other Chinese place and got my Han Star soup there.
Oh my gosh.
And let's just say that she loves me. And I love her. Yes.
I would say maybe she...
Not that one. I mean, the...
had somebody call on purpose because she knew you were coming. And she was like, I can't take his order. It's just, it hurts my heart too much.
What a coincidence.
So, but speaking of being hated by people, it was just the whole them taking another call. But granted, that was work-related. It reminded me a few years back. My wife and I go somewhere and have our taxes done for us just because I can't stand to do that. So we're in the lobby. This gal is already 10 minutes late asking us to come back to the thing. And this time our kids were younger. So them sitting in a tight little cubicle while she does our taxes isn't a great time. Right. So we get in there 10 minutes late. And we sit down, and this gal is not great anyway.
Now, you were 10 minutes late, or she was 10
minutes? She was 10 minutes. Okay. Like, we were there on time.
Okay.
She was 10 minutes late, and we know for a fact that the people that she had helped before were already gone.
Oh, okay.
So, this cracks me up, because I'm always surprised this actually happened. So, we sat down, and she, you know, she was, blah, 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 and then... her cell phone rings, and she looks at it. She's like, "Oh, I have to take this just real quick." We're like, "Oh yeah, okay." And she gets on and she starts talking, and she's talking to somebody about something, and it sounded important. But 10 minutes go by, she's still on the phone.
Damn.
20 minutes go by, she's still on the phone. So right now at this point, we are 30 minutes late to starting our appointment. And so I look over to my wife, and I'm like, dude, I'm like, just get out of here. I'm like, I'll take care of it. And she's like, all right, because my wife was getting pissed. She's like, and so we sat there. Well, I sat there after they left for an additional 20 minutes. So we were 50 minutes late to starting.
Right.
And 40 of those minutes, she was on her cell phone. And then she's like, oh, you know, I'm so sorry. You know, I'm a part of this reserve type thing where we, you know, try to help endangered animals. I'm
what,
like,
the fuck?
Yeah, it just kind of going on this whole bullshit thing. I'm sitting there. I'm like, well, that's all great. So what now? Is our appointment canceled or what? And she's like, oh, no, we'll be able to finish up in time. We'll just have to hurry it up. I'm like, are you going to mess up my taxes just because you decided to waste our time? And she's like, well, no. But then she got pissy with me. I'm like, bitch. You just spent 50 minutes on company time taking care of a personal issue. Wow. It's like, don't even get nasty. So as soon as I left, well, when you leave, they go to set up your appointment. And she's like, well, here, I'll set your appointment up for next show. I'm like, no, I'll do that at the front desk. And she's like, oh, okay, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, okay, see ya. And so I got up, I went to the front desk, I'm like, hey, I need to set up my appointment for next year. And like, well, your agent should have helped you. I'm like, I want a new agent.
Wow.
And the thing is, this office is small.
Right.
I know for a fact she heard me. And, you know, so hearing you say that, it totally took me back that I was like, oh, the worst experience of getting my taxes done ever.
Man, that's just crazy. To me, it was just, I was like, how can you just take somebody's order and just kind of skip me? Like, granted, she knows me, and I'm pretty sure she knew that all I was going to order was hot and sour soup and some chickens on a stick. Also known as rats. They look like rats to me. I don't know why.
That's terrible.
I know. At first, it used to gross me out. My brother used to order them and shit. Then I was like, you know what? I'm trying to get the
right?
The feeling for these chicken rats. Chicken rats. Yeah, that's true. I know it's horrible.
It definitely seems like one of those things that should just be. It should be common knowledge. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you don't help another customer when you're in the middle of helping a customer. Right. This guy is about to give you money for your service.
So when I went to the other one, like I said, she was super sweet. Everybody there is like super nice. Like I'm assuming that she's the owner. She's always in a really good mood. Mm-hmm. She's like, "How are you doing today?" You know, I'm just like, "I'm doing fine. How about yourself?" Like, you know, a little small talk, right?
Right.
The one of the workers there, my little Indian wife, she's super sweet and she knows me already. So she's like, "I knew it was you, and you know, just because you ordered just hot," so I ordered hot and sour soup and some crab ragoons.
Right.
And she's like, "I knew it was you," and you know, like with her little Indian accent, it was really sexy. It really is. "Okay, sir." I was like, "Oh, she calls me sir. I don't like it."
Why?
Makes me feel a little old. She's about, if I was to guess, my future Indian wife is probably 20, 21.
Okay.
I'm 33 years old.
Which reminds me, Ricardo, yes. You celebrated a birthday recently, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Matter of fact, I celebrated yesterday.
Well, happy fucking birthday.
Thank you, man. I feel wiser, older.
Yeah. So let me fill you in, because we all know that I am older than you.
A few months.
Right. Let me tell you what to expect from the age of 33.
Okay, go ahead.
It's a lot like 32, but a little different.
Okay, how so?
You're not 32 anymore.
Oh, that's true. You know what the funny thing is? So I was on one of my, let's just say it was one of my websites that has a profile. And it said that I was, this is before my birthday, right? It said that I was 33. And I was like, "Wait a second, I'm not 33, am I?" And then I legit had to fucking like do the math. I was like, "Well, I was born in 87. It's 2020, and I just did." I was like, "No, I'm right. I'm 32. I don't know why it says 33, fuckers."
Oh yeah, no, I definitely. There was one year I definitely skipped a year, and my wife was like, "So how do you feel about turning?" Was I turning 32? She's like, "Oh yeah." She's like, "So how do you feel about turning 32?" And I looked at her, I'm like, "I'm turning 31." And she's like, "No, you're turning 30." I was like, "No, I'm not." And I was for sure set. She was lying to me. I was like, "Dude, I'm like, I'm not." And right. She's like, "Josh, do the math." And so like, I started thinking back. I was like, "Shit, where'd that year go?" I was like, "Oh no."
Yeah, it was. I felt kind of bad. Like I said, I started doing the math. I'm just like 20, 87. Like, oh shit. You know, first of all, I was like, "Oh, I am right." But then I was like, "I don't know why they had me at 33. Sons of bitches." Yeah. So what do you think that we'll save that for later. Okay. We'll save that for later, because I think it's gonna be a good Brody talk conversation.
Okay.
Speaking about Brody talk, have you seen Brody? Because I haven't seen Brody, but I know she's back.
I've heard she's in the building. Yes. I have not actually seen her.
I think she's hiding from me.
I think she's hiding in general, because I think she's one of those people who may be like, "Is it really safe to return to work?" It's like, fuck no, it's not safe to return to work. But it doesn't matter. We've been going to work this whole time.
Yeah, it's. I don't know if I talked about this on air, but I'm going to talk about this on air.
Okay.
To a certain degree.
Okay.
So somebody told me. Did I ever talk to you about this or no?
I don't know. Okay. I want to find out though.
So somebody told me, because I haven't gone out too much to like the restaurants or whatever. Mm. "Well, Ricardo, you can't be scared. You gotta live your life." I'm just like, I just looked and I'm just like, hold up, this is coming from somebody that worked from home for the last 5 months or 4 months.
Right.
I was here since the whole shit started going down. I mean, I had no choice, but
right.
I mean, I always have a choice. I could have just said, you know what, I don't feel comfortable. I mean, they probably would have fired me, but
probably.
I could have said no.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so it kind of got me a little upset. I'm just like, you can't be saying, you know, you got, I mean, they do have a certain point by saying that, because it is true.
I think one thing that bugs me the most of some of the conversations that I've had with people who have been working from home and everything like that, they've been told we're essential workers. It's like, excuse me? It's like, you've been able to continue to make a living from the comfort of your home, while the rest of us have actually needed to go to work. Like, some of us, even considering us, people who work at gas stations or grocery stores and stuff like that. Stuff that you are dealing with the public all the time. And it's like, creepy. And it's like, okay, those people are essential.
Well, not only that, but I think one of the reasons that got me a little upset is because this person individually wasn't really, executing part of her, part of their job. And to me, you know, one of the job functions was to, you know, do a certain thing that she couldn't, they couldn't do from, they couldn't do from home, obviously. And I'm just like, man, and it, I kind of brought it up to her, and, you know, she's, I'll do it again.
just let it go,
okay,
man.
Okay, so she said, well, I had no choice. I'm like,
I think you probably
You probably had a choice, because first of all, I kind of heard some negative feedback from your other coworkers that were there. Yeah, some feisty stuff, but you know, that's neither here nor there. But yeah, it was like, it kind of bothered me a little bit, because you know, we're the ones that were there when there was the first scariest. You know, I mean, I was no doubt was like, you know, at first I wasn't too concerned, then you know, a whole bunch of shit started when the NBA started locking down.
Right.
That's when I remember, I was like, oh shit, shit's getting real.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So for you to come and say, well, you can't be scared your whole, you know, your whole life, I'm like, yeah, you're right. You know, you still gotta live your life. Doesn't mean I'm not living my life. I'm just being a little bit extra cautious.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with being cautious. I think from what I've noticed, there's two spectrums. Almost three spectrums, where you have the people who are going to work all the time. They have said, you know what, it's just, it is what it is.
Right.
And then you have the people who are at home, terrified and stuff like that. But then you have the folks who have been able to work from home, but then live in the country, where I've noticed where a lot of these folks are much more laid back about it, because they are so detached from social interactions. Like, especially if you live out a ways to where, you know, you have a decent amount of property and stuff like that. I think that kind of takes away from a bit of the fear, I guess, because you're not around people, you know, like with us, houses on all sides.
Right.
People are always walking by. And at one point in time, people were weird just by walking by each other, where, you know, you can be 6 feet away from each other and be fine, but, you know, I would have people go to the other side of the road, and it's just like, really? It's like, I mean, I get it, you know, if you want to, if that's how you feel safe, then that's cool, but still, it's like, you know, so, I get the sentiment of saying, well, you can't be afraid, and you know, you have to continue your life. It's like, yes, a part of that is true, however, you need to kind of look at your own situation personally and be like, okay, is this something I really needed to have said, or could I have just laughed and then just let it be what it is, you know?
Because I think there's a lot of people who you got, I mean, at least for me, when I'm talking about certain topics like this, that probably don't agree with me at all, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just, you know, I let it just be what it be, and just kind of find a medium, a middle ground. Just to almost kind of like shy away from the conversation if I feel like it's not, if we're not really agreeing on certain things. So, you know, but in that situation, I should just say, you know, I it's one of those things that I kind of like laughed it off a little bit and just say, you know what, I don't know. I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe I'm right. I don't know. Shit. Or maybe you're right. I'm wrong. but I said, I was like, at the end of the day, I'm living my life to not the fullest, but definitely not hiding, but I'm not going to go outside of my comfort zone.
Right.
Not so much for me, but just other people.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, like I don't go out a whole lot, mostly just because I'm an introvert and I like staying home.
Right.
But at the same time, I like the ability to be able to know that I am as healthy as I can be, so I can go see like my folks and stuff like that. So making sure that I'm keeping myself healthy just so I can go see them, so I don't get them sick. That's my biggest thing is I personally, if I get sick, you know, that sucks, but I mean, I'm fairly healthy and you know, my immune system isn't great, but it's not terrible. I have no reason to think that it would kill me. I definitely think I'd probably have a bad time for a little bit, but honestly, I'd be more concerned about getting my immediate family or extended family sick. And you know, that's why I've decided to stay home.
And I think that's what a lot of people don't understand coming from our perspective is the fact that it's not so much that we don't feel that we can survive or, you know, whether it's, you know, whether it's, I always say this. Do I question this whole severity of this pandemic, quote unquote? I do question it sometimes, you know, just because thankfully, whether it's, you know, whether it's true or not, I haven't seen anybody die around me, which I'm glad I don't or had that situation.
Right.
And the people that I know that have gotten this, obviously have all survived without too much of a hassle. So,
right.
Like I said, I do question it sometimes, but I just want to be safe at the end of the day. Like not just for me, but you know, what if my dad or my mom is the one that's that 1% or whatever that's unfortunate, because you know they're definitely up there in age. So
And it's the one thing that's made me the most upset out of all of this is not the question of it's severe or not or anything like that. It's people's
selfishness.
Yeah, well, but even then, it's their blatant disregard for other human life. You know, I was having a conversation with somebody a couple weeks ago, and you know, I told him, I said, you know, yeah, you know, wearing a mask sucks and everything, but here's the thing though, if you wearing a mask for 30 minutes, make sure that Joe Schmo who decides not to wear a mask, he doesn't get sick because you are wearing a mask.
Right.
I don't see the problem with that. I don't see why that's something to argue. Granted, this conversation ended up going in a direction where I looked at them and I was like, okay, I have to walk away because you just said something that legitimately pisses me off and I can't even continue this conversation because I think you're an idiot. So I was like, nope, I'm done. I was like, all right, we'll see you later.
Wow. Yeah, it's. I mean, for me, I guess I never would want to be the person that would want to cause anybody's deaths in this sense. You know what I mean? Like, even though I would feel guilty, I would never, I mean, especially if I knew it was me.
You know what
I
mean? Sure.
Like, even if it wasn't any my family members, but let's just say it was somebody that I knew, or even if I didn't know them, if I caused that death, I'm just like, damn, that kind of sucks. Right.
Something I've always been, something I've always been interested in is, at this point in time, I'm curious if there are different strands of COVID-19. And each strand is a particular, not strength, but, crap, I can't think of the word, but its effectiveness to kill you is better with some of these strands than others. Because my wife was positive for COVID back in May. Right. By the time we were that she found out that she was positive, chances are she had been positive for at least a week. And, you know, we didn't know that. Like, you know, me and my kids didn't know that. We definitely didn't isolate the way that we probably should have after finding out she was positive. But we didn't get it. You know, because my kids and I both, well, the kids, and we went up and we got tested and we, you know, and those all came back negative and life went on. And
so let me ask you this, because I always want to ask you this. After you found out that she was positive, did you guys still maintain a physical?
Yes.
Let me finish the question. Damn.
Sorry.
Did you guys hug?
Yes.
Did you guys kiss?
Yes.
did you guys touch no-no spots?
Like just touch it, or did we?
Yes.
See, this is the time we need a webcam.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm neither going to confirm nor deny that.
Okay. So, yes.
I'm going to neither confirm nor deny.
That's just kind of mind-blowing to me. Like, I don't know, see how... My thing is, I don't know how... I guess the way you're saying it is, I'm pretty sure that... I guess nobody really knows. But the whole point where I was going with this is it's really weird how you didn't catch it, or how your kids didn't catch it. Especially if you guys, you know, had... You know, definitely some physical interactions. Like, stop making those eyes at me. How you guys didn't end up catching it. And if you, or maybe you did catch it, you just were so asymptomatic.
Right.
That it was gone before you even got tested. I mean, plus the test, you never know. Because you, from what I heard, is that you don't know what test you got, but they're very inconclusive at times. So.
From something I saw that they realized that there was a batch of false negatives.
Right.
So it's one of those things where it's like, okay, so who screwed the pooch on that one? Was it just a bad testing kit, or was it they didn't administer it the right way or an effective way or something like that? So it's like, okay, so if that's the case, is it more widespread than we think, and it's just harder to catch?
Right.
Because if a whole bunch of people are coming back, having people get all these false negatives, they go about their lives. But then also, I'm wondering if a part of it isn't, like, suggested. So, say you feel fine, mm-hmm. but because of, like, in my case before... My wife got it, which makes me think that I may have had it.
Right.
I don't know, because both of my tests came back negative.
Right.
Say you work extra hard one day and you feel lousy the end of the day.
Right.
You decide you're going to take a couple of days off and you just kind of feel lousy. Not flu-like, not maybe it almost like, you know how like if you work out too much, you just kind of feel like crap
right.
for like a day or so. Mm-hmm. Say you have that. And then come to find out, say you get an antibodies test for, you know, COVID,
right.
and you have it. So that means, holy shit, at some point, I was carrying it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, so this is where a lot of the information that has been released seems to get so muddied.
Right.
One day they say, oh, it's super catchy. Somebody could sneeze 5 aisles away from you in the grocery store, and you're definitely going to get it. But then... You have cases where they say, yeah, you know, you could be carrying it. You don't even know. Right. And it's like those seem like two different mm-hmm. diseases right there. It's like, okay, it's so crazy because honestly, the amount of information out there is so extreme that there seems to be no indication of. What's reliable, because even the reliable sources, and I say that with the bunny ears,
right?
They even have changed, not opinions, but definitely changed approaches to how they talk about certain information mm-hmm. now, which leads you to believe that, okay, so what you said before either was a lie or you didn't know and you were guessing. Or something has drastically changed, right. but you're not telling us.
Mm. Kind of like a conspiracy a little bit.
Oh, no, for sure it's a conspiracy.
So one thing that this person that I was talking to about, they told me is how the death rate can be a little bit over fluctuated
mm-hmm.
based on the... And I heard this before from different people, but she has a person inside somewhere in the hospital system where they say that a lot of people that die in the hospital, they don't necessarily have to have COVID.
Mm.
They just have to have COVID symptoms in a sense. Yeah, which is kind of weird. They have to have COVID symptoms to be considered that they died from COVID. You know what I mean? Now, one of the reasons, and I heard this before on different people from different people, is the whole reason behind that is because the government is refunding, or not refunding, but kind of like giving money to these hospitals for every COVID patient that tests positive that dies, they are getting a certain amount of money for their care and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like, so they're pretty much giving these hospitals, you know, so these hospitals have the, they have a reason to almost want it to be COVID, even though it's not COVID per se.
Right.
And so a lot of the times, especially if you die from like if you have water in your lungs, which is, you know, what is it called? I was gonna say asthma, but the other one. What is water in your lungs?
I always say this wrong.
Damn.
Yeah, I know what you mean though.
You know what I'm saying? So automatically, if you die and they notice that you have fucking like water in your lungs, right?
Mm-hmm.
They automatically will consider you that you died from COVID because that is one of the symptoms, or at least one that's one of the indicators that that you have COVID. So automatically that death rate is going to be a little bit you know, sky high, even though this person might have had pneumonia. There you go. Pneumonia. Even though this person might have had pneumonia,
right?
It might have not even been COVID. It might have been they had the, you know, just they had fucking pneumonia. And right. And the other thing too is that a lot of these, and I've seen them, not myself, but I've seen it through other people where they stopped a lot of the cancer treatments because of the COVID. Because you know what I'm saying. So
because chemo fries your entire immune system.
So what happens a lot of times is some of these cancer patients are dying, but they're not dying from COVID. They're dying from their cancer. But the problem is that they're not treating the cancer.
Right.
So what ends up happening is like they automatically think it's COVID related.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I can definitely see how it can skew somebody's perception of this whole pandemic in a sense, because when you're hearing these cases of people being diagnosed with COVID and they're not really COVID related, it just really does mess with your, I guess your.
Well, see, like in a thing like that, it's like it's one of those things where, like, if that is the case, if a hospital's getting a cutback, if they're getting a cutback because of, or they're getting, all right, let's not put it in such a terrible way. Yeah, if they're getting
funded
special funding,
there you go, funded
due to the height or the large amount of COVID patients that are people who die because of COVID or COVID related symptoms. I kind of don't have a problem with it, because if COVID is as bad as that they say it is,
that tastes good.
All the health care providers and nurses and doctors and stuff like that who are in the hospital for 12 plus hours a day,
right?
They kind of deserve to be paid a pretty decent wage. Right. And so, but see that's another thing that's been bugging me lately is where you have people who have said, "Well, I'm a essential worker," but it's like, yes, but you're complaining because you I can't even get into it.
No, it
pisses me off so much. Where, like, don't get me wrong, the people who own their own bars and stuff like that, who have had to shut down and now are either having to close and stuff like that, that sucks. Don't get me wrong. You losing your business, that's terrible. However, if this disease is as bad, or virus, whatever you want to call it, is as bad as it has been reported to, the people who are dealing with it every single day, they deserve more compensation for the risk they're taking than you do, so your bar doesn't go under.
Right, right.
And some people will definitely disagree with that. Oh, I guarantee people disagree. But at the same time, it's like, here's the thing. You can start again. You can find a way to start again. Right. And I'm sure once COVID starts actually going down and not disappearing, but definitely is being handled in a way where life can go on, and some kind of normalcy, chances are there is going to be some kind of a statute made that says, hey, if you lost your business during the COVID, right, you can apply for this or for mm-hmm. this. And then that would eventually help you get your feet back under you.
I think in the long run, I think it actually kind of helps the bar owners and these people who have lost their businesses, like not so much right away, but mm-hmm. like you said, in the future, if you have somebody, a leader that's a leader, mm-hmm. not an orangutan.
Hey, don't talk about your buddy like that.
Then I think that eventually they will come and say, like, you know what, you know, if you suffered financial losses from the COVID mm-hmm. Pandemic, here are the things that you have to, you know, do to help you out, or this is what the government is going to offer you to right. to help you get back on your feet. It's not going to be a free money, but it is going to be something that I mean, I would assume
right, for sure,
it's going to be something that you would have to pay back for sure, but it's going to be something that will make it easier for you to get back on your feet right. or start over again.
Which honestly, if our government is going to do anything constructive, that's one thing they need to do. They need to be able to say, okay, this wrecked everybody, so right. we need to have something in place that will make sure that it won't absolutely, you know, cripple our economy mm-hmm. or do something crazy. Granted, it's already starting to fuck with our economy already, but it's like okay, so let's figure something out so that we don't end up going to some, you know, post-apocalyptic Mad Max right. crazy America, you know.
Now it's kind of weird because I never would have imagined that work would get so slow to the point where it's like you really don't even need like a lot of us, to be honest.
Well, but see, I thought about this the other day, that our particular position, we are responsible excuse me for shipping products internationally,
right?
Chances are, since our area has slowed down quite a bit, is people don't want shit from America because America doesn't know how to keep its shit together.
Oh yeah, I guess
so. It's about like that. So it's people like, hey, maybe we should buy somewhere else. Cause
now, do you know that I heard before, I'm not too sure exactly what the restrictions are, but from what I know, there's a lot of European countries and a lot of other countries that are not accepting Americans.
Oh yeah,
which is weird.
Oh yeah.
So you have an American passport, you're like, sorry man, but you're kind of
no thank you. We don't want you.
We got enough of you guys.
Hello, goodbye.
I say good day.
Yeah.
I say good day.
They actually I don't know, fuck this up too. Ireland had a particular, I don't want to call it a band, but maybe it was a band. Definitely a in the nice way, no Americans allowed thing for their airports.
Wow.
And I don't know if it got lifted or if it was ignored by certain airlines or something like that, but they were doing, they had really good numbers COVID wise. Right. And sure enough, something changed and a whole bunch of fucking Americans showed up, and then their numbers started going back up. Right. It's just like, oh my God.
I think it's the craziest thing, you know, my perception. My perception about this whole freedom thing, right? I love freedom, and I think the whole Western world in a sense is for the most part pretty mm-hmm. free, right?
Right.
Now, the US in general, for some odd reason, we have this mentality of, you know, freedom is our number one thing, which is great. Mm-hmm. But I think it really is backfiring on us right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because there are other countries that they do value their freedom. You know, you look at the neighbors to the north and the neighbors to the south. And I read this story about a month or so ago, where this American couple got arrested because they wanted to go into a store or so. I can't remember exact details, mm-hmm. but they wanted to go into a store, but they didn't want to wear a mask, right? So they're politely asked, like, "Hey, you have to wear a mask." Right. American couple, this is verbatim. This, I'm kind of making this up as I go.
Oh, okay.
From what I remember reading. they okay. said, no, I don't have to.
So you're paraphrasing.
I'm paraphrasing. From what I remember, they said, no, I don't have to. It's my freedom, blah, blah. And
you ain't in America anymore. Right,
exactly. So, essentially what ended up happening was the authorities arrested them for not wearing their mask because, Mexico is, from what I know, is a very, what's the word I'm looking for? Freedom-oriented country as well.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's very, from what I heard, it's like the U.S. and Canada.
For the citizens.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's the hilarious part is the entitlement.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Entitlement is a perfect word.
Americans follow them to whatever country they go to.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, first of all, if you want to act this way in America, go right ahead. Because guess what? You have laws that protect you to an extent mm-hmm. to behave that way.
Right.
You go to another country and you try to pull that kind of right. shit, you're either going to get the shit kicked out of you.
Right.
And then you'll get arrested. And it's like, it's a mentality that I'll never understand.
But I don't understand why we're like that in a sense. Because if you look at Canada too, I mean, Canada has, from what I know, this all because my research is very limited. they got their shit on control too. You know what I mean? Like it's one of those countries that is also very freedom oriented. But at the end of the day, they kind of say, you know what, we're going to lock down. We're going, you know, do this, do that, and let's all like work together to get out of this too. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Mexico, from what I know, is was a little bit behind the ball, meaning like. My cousin was in Mexico where he was when this was all going down. He's like, no, he was down there for maybe like 2 or 3 weeks. He's like, no, I haven't heard anything like bad about it. Like they're not turning anything down and all of a sudden. Like, I mean, this is like we're probably about 2 or 3 weeks into our shutdown already, and they were still not shutting down at all.
Yeah. Well, shit. Like just recently, Brazil is getting destroyed by COVID.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
Well, I think even the president got, or I don't know what they use. I think the president, prime minister, whatever they use, I think that they came down with the COVID.
Right. It, I don't know. It honestly is like a clusterfuck of a whole situation.
Yeah, I know.
We're going to take a quick break. Don't forget to head to sandhillcoffee.com. Use promo code Warehouse Rats when you check out. You'll get additional 20% off your total purchase. We will be right back.
It's the Warehouse Rats.
I like that.
It's the Warehouse Rats.
All right, we're back.
We're back in black and blue.
I'm wearing black anyways.
I'm wearing blue.
Where?
Right here, blue.
Where's the black?
I'm wearing black underwear.
See, I can't ever hear anybody say anything about black underwear without thinking about this movie called While You Were Sleeping. Came out like mid-90s, had Sandra Bullock in it.
Okay.
And
I like her.
The whole movie concept was crazy, but one of the best little side stories in this movie was that she had this guy who lived in her building who was always coming on to her, and he had like that thick New York accent and stuff like that. And so there was one night he was really upset, and she was trying to comfort him. So, you know, she gave him a hug, and you know, he's hugging her back, and you can see he's trying to like look down like the back end of her shirt, and he's like, are you wearing a black bra? She slaps the back and then walks off. He's like, I love black underwear. Sorry.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Well, I do like underwear. I do have a little bit of a panty fetish. It's nothing bad. It's nothing crazy. Like, I don't want to.
You don't want to be that guy.
No, I don't want to be that guy. No. I appreciate good underwear. But, yeah.
On who?
On women. Not on men. Gay?
You can't say that. It's not PC, man.
I love gay people. Matter of fact, one of our, one of my cousins that might be on one of our guests, one of the things that with the whole pandemic going on, and for good reasons, which we're on the same boat, is that he feels that he doesn't want to expose his parents to it, which, you know, it's a very good, you know, logic thing. Mm-hmm. That even myself, like, I wouldn't want to go into a different situation where I'm like, you know, mm-hmm. with people that I don't know too much,
right?
Because you don't know where they've been. Mm-hmm. So yeah, mm-hmm. but we might hear from one of these days. I think right about 2 weeks from today, I think. So
right on.
Yep. So we talked a little bit about Brody and how she is back, right?
Yes.
I haven't seen her. Now, I'm not going to lie. Like, two or three people hit me up and said, like, hey, guess who's back? I'm like, who's back? And, yeah, they told me Brody's back. I'm like, oh, yeah, baby.
To tell a friend?
Tell a friend. But I haven't seen her yet, though, so which is kind of really weird. And it's kind of weird that we went into this whole hour tangent about from Brody. but she is a very – she's a big – part of this podcast, so I think mm-hmm. that, you know, it's only fair.
Shout out for sure.
Shout out to Brody.
Now see, like, I realize that even though she is definitely your cup of tea, I miss her simply because she has this walk that just brings me some joy.
You just want to make fun of her, and I don't appreciate that. Now she does walk a little funny, but you know,
see, I wouldn't say it's funny. It's almost like a confident walk, but it's almost like you're overcompensating for your confidence. And it's like so you're walking with too much confidence. Like, hey, dial it back just a little bit, funny. And then you're good to go.
I guess, but I never looked. Maybe that's just the way, you know. Maybe that's just the way that she was. Maybe she walked from home to school and she would have to avoid certain potholes or something. Hypothetically speaking, there's the story where
that's a terrible explanation.
she had to miss a few potholes because she didn't want to get her shoes dirty, and so she had to, like, you know. So now it looks like it's a fucking confidence walk, but what it really was is was a fucking, like, avoiding potholes walk. Well, anyways,
yep.
I just celebrated my 33rd birthday, and it was good. It was definitely fun to a certain degree.
Break. Back in.
So, like I said, it was good. It was fun. I got some Chinese food and took it over to my parents' house, and then you know, like, I had a fucking slam on the brakes on the highway, and some dumb motherfucker just so happened to stop. Well, there was a car that was being pulled over, mm-hmm. so they all switched to one lane, which is, I guess, that's a respectable thing. Mm-hmm.
And the law.
We don't know if that's the law. We have to go and get our buddy.
I'm pretty sure that it's a law where if there is a service vehicle, aka police, ambulance, fire truck that is on the side of the road with lights on and go, like, clearly right. in the midst of something, I'm pretty sure it's a law where you have to get over and slow down.
Yeah, you know what? It looked like he probably pulled him over for something petty, so you know what? It wasn't the magical number, which it was 13. So I'm pretty sure he was doing, like, only, like, 9 over, so, yeah. Anyways.
Right.
So they all moved over to the right hand side because they were on the left.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, like, I was looking at something, I can't remember what I was looking at, and then when I looked up, the fucking car was, like, literally almost like breaking and shit, almost right in front of my front bumper. So I had to slam on the brake, and all my fucking food went flying, and it flipped over and shit. I'm just like, oh no. Fuck. And so I had to pull over to the emergency lane and then flip it right back over. And luckily, it didn't really spill that much.
Oh.
It did spill, but not that much.
Nice.
But anyways, that's a long story.
Yep.
Long story short.
Nope.
Long story longer. I was looking at my birthday, and I'm just like, obviously, the more you age, the more you don't look at a birthday as fun before, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's another birthday. Yeah. I mean, I guess you're happy to have another birthday, but mm-hmm. definitely not like, it's just another day. You know what I mean? Pretty much.
Yeah, I was saying, it definitely got to a point for me where birthdays, like, where I wasn't requesting work off to for my birthday, and where, like, not that I see, there's always gonna be a part of me that's excited that it's my birthday, just simply because it's like, hey, I was born today.
Yeah, yeah,
that's pretty cool, you know. But like the excitement of, oh man, it's my birthday, I'm gonna go get trashed and get some gifts, and yeah, you know, that part of it definitely for me has started to, you know,
diminish,
you know, definitely go away. But there is a moment, like, usually I notice, like, in the morning on my birthdays, I'm like, hey, today's my birthday. That's pretty cool. And I think I really, in like, the one thing I look forward to on my birthday is my older brother always calls me.
Okay.
And he'll be like, hey, fuckhead, happy birthday. And it's like, hey, thanks. So
now, do you get, are you afraid of getting older? Or is that just me, in a sense? Because I think, so here's my perception on this, is the fact that, or my reasoning behind me a little afraid of getting older, is the fact that I'm still, you know, a young, well, not young, I'm a bachelor, I don't have kids, and I feel like my clock is ticking.
It doesn't click.
my clock is ticking. And I think that once I get to a certain age, I think that I'm going to just, you know what, I give up. Not give up totally, but as far as, like, kids go, like, I'm going to definitely say, you know what, I'm not going to have any kids. I'm very pro-adoption, though. I've always been pro-adoption. I don't know why. I just, like, I feel that every kid deserves a life of, I don't want to say luxury, but a life, an opportunity, pretty much, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I do feel like I've always wanted to go that route anyways, but.
I remember I'm pretty sure I was about 9 years old, and my grandfather, who lived right next door to us growing up, I was over at their house for some reason or another, and he read the newspaper all the time. So he was sitting at sitting at the table reading the newspaper, and I just so happened to look over, and on the front was somebody celebrating their, like, 100th birthday or something like that. And I remember as a kid, I'm like, man, I'm like, that seems terrible to live that long. And my grandfather was like, he's like, you know, I can see how you would say that now. He's like, but the older you get, the longer you want to stay around. He's like, you know, some people don't feel like it's really worth it at a younger age.
Right.
But the longer you're here, the more you want to be here.
So I never thought about that before.
And so ever since then, I've always been kind of like, you know, I if I live to be 106, 120, whatever, that's fine. But I want to be a healthy 106. You know, if I'm the guy who doesn't even know who I am and stuff like that, you know, then it's like, nah, just, you know.
Yeah, that's what I always
take me out the way of, you know, Old Yeller and stuff like that. And
you don't want to be a liability to your family, your kids, and your grandkids. Right. So, you know, that was just.
I wouldn't say a liability, but, like, a hassle.
Right.
I wouldn't want to be a hassle. I would just be like, hey, I love you all. If you forget about me, that's cool. Right. Chances are I'll forget about you as soon as you leave. So, I mean, shit, there are days that right now I'm feeling I might be hitting dementia, but, you know.
that won't, you know, dementia is such a, like, so, obviously on TikTok, because I am a TikToker.
Well, what's your handle? Give the people your handle so they can start following you, man.
I don't remember my handle, to be honest. I only got one follower, so.
Bro.
And it's one of my cousins. No, not that one.
You know who you are.
Yeah. So, damn, you made me lose my train of thought.
TikTok.
Yeah, TikTok. Oh, so. One of the things that I love TikTok because there's so many different things, obviously. But the one thing that I don't like, and I don't know how I feel about this, through my perspective, like, I feel like it's everybody has a way to kind of distress about their life situations or their family's situations. So I think this is one of the ways that they do it. But sometimes they show, like, their parents or their grandparents with dementia. And kind of like the really crappy part about it, where they, like, so I remember one particular, they just had just fed their grandma, and they took away the you know, the food or the tray or whatever, and then it's like, mm-hmm. Grandma, are you hungry? She's like, yeah, I could always eat, you know, like really mm-hmm. sweet old lady, and right. she just had just eaten, and she's like, and the caption was like, this is how I can get my grandma to eat a little bit more, you know, which just mm-hmm. made a little sense, you know, when she doesn't, but to yeah. me it was just like, ugh, you
it's,
know,
it's very distasteful. Yeah, it's like a, it's like you can, if you're trying to build awareness for it, yeah. there's definitely a way to do it, but then
they, can you though? Because I don't think that you can.
Oh, absolutely.
On TikTok though?
Oh, absolutely. It's all about context okay. and how you present mm-hmm. the issue you're trying to show.
Right. How would you go about that though? Because like I said, I've seen it and more than one person, different people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I guess maybe because my heart just goes out because my dad mm-hmm. is not necessarily, you know, has dementia, but definitely has really bad memory now.
Right.
And I'm just like, I don't know how I can.
There was a movie that came out. Oh, shit. It's been a while now. It's called Waiting. Had Ryan Reynolds in it.
Okay.
He played a waiter, and he sat down at the table with this old guy. He's like, so, you know, what can I get you? And he's like, I don't know. He's like, you know, I'm just, and this guy kind of goes on this short rant about how he's starting to go senile, or how he likes to pretend he's senile just so he can give kids the middle finger and stuff like that. But then he's like, but then when you realize you're actually starting to go senile and you don't know why you're giving mm-hmm. the kids the middle finger, it's one of these moments that it's like, it's a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
But they give it in a comedic sense to where it's right. like, it's not that they're laughing at him.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that people can approach that situation without it being sad. Because okay. a lot of people are like, oh, it's so sad. They don't remember anything. And like, I remember that because it was Ryan Reynolds was the guy's waiter at the mm-hmm. time. And he's like, you know what? I like you, man. He's like, I like you. The guy said, I like you, to Ryan Reynolds. He's like, well, I like you too, sir. And he's like, well, I like you. And he's like, yeah. And he's like, so what can I get you to drink? He's like, I trust you. And he's like, okay. And then he walked in. He's like, man, I don't care if that dude doesn't tip me. That's the coolest fucking guy ever. So I was like, you know, so like, even though it was a brief thing, they gave you this insight and this very bizarre and accurate insight,
mm-hmm.
but with a... without being like, without shaming anybody.
Right.
You know, and it's, and you know, so you can definitely talk about serious topics. And if you want to use TikTok, sure, go right ahead.
Right.
I actually just saw something today where this young gal is suffering from a very rare disorder, which causes a lot of physical abnormality. There you go. That's the word. To her face and mm-hmm. body and stuff like that. And she said that a picture of her is being used to scare kids.
Wow.
And so she released the thing. And so she's saying, hey,
mm-hmm.
if you want to use my picture to scare people, don't, because that's incredibly hurtful. She's right. like, because I don't, you know. This is how I look, yeah, and I don't have any control over that. And, you know, and so she had this very positive message, and you know, so it can be done, but it's all about how you do it.
Right.
So if, you know, if this chick who fed her grandma and then, hey, are you hungry for dinner? And she's like, oh, I could eat. And then, like, you know, she turned to like a image of her laughing about it. It's like, yeah.
It wasn't anything like that. I guess I get a little bit more sentimental in a sense because, like I said, my dad is unfortunate. Doesn't have dementia for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, does have bad memory.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why I get a little bit more emotional
mm-hmm.
because I can see, like, unfortunately, maybe unless he gets better, which I feel like he is getting better,
mm-hmm.
But maybe one day he will be there. You know what I'm saying? Which really would suck.
Right.
But I guess that's why I get a little bit more emotional on those mm-hmm. on those perspectives. But for the most part, what I've seen from on TikTok for those people with dementia and anything, they haven't been any malicious. I mean, obviously right. it's not anything malicious, but right. you know, I think it's kind of weird, a little bit weird.
It's an interesting platform to try to take a stand on. I mean,
I just want you to go up there and shake your ass.
Who, me?
Not you. Them. No, I'm just like,
okay. Weird, but but even so, if you can use it effectively, mm-hmm. for sure, but how you decide to present your information or whatever,
right?
If you don't do it right, it can be easily destroyed, mm-hmm. and just easily turned against you and taken out of context and all this other stuff. So it's like, so it's one of those things. It's like you, it's a hit or miss,
right?
There's just no,
I mean, you never, I don't think you could ever please everybody. There's always gonna be a little pushback for somebody who gets maybe you know, offended or has a different opinion.
Karen,
right? Karen,
we're talking to you.
Yeah, I want to be a Karen someday, but I can't. I just, my mind doesn't let me.
You can be a Kyle.
Yes, call me Kyle. So, ultimately, one of the questions that I did ask you, I don't think that you caught it, but are you afraid of getting older at all? Because I know you have family.
I'm not afraid of getting older. I'm afraid of aging poorly.
Mm.
Now, the act of getting older, it's just another year. But if with every year my health deteriorates and I get to the point where I'm sitting in a chair for 12 hours a day, that's pretty bleak.
Right.
You know, there are some people that I've seen who well into their 90s live very full and active and
right.
enjoyable lives, which I can only hope that that I can do that as well. You know, but getting older? No.
I think one of the reasons that I do have a problem getting older, just because I still feel young at heart, and I know you're a little bit more, I don't say mature, but you're definitely have an old spirit, like an old, kind of like Crooked Skid Micah. He has an old spirit, you know, mm-hmm. where he's,
we're old souls.
Old souls. There you go. Yeah. Old souls. I'm not there. I just not.
That's okay, man. Not everybody has to be.
I want to though.
Why?
Because I just want to be my own age, and I still don't feel 33.
Well, see, here's the thing, though. Your age is what you make it.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you see certain people who are the same age. Like, for the longest time, I was seeing people my age going out every night, mm-hmm. getting drunk, partying, doing all this crazy shit. And I was working and going home to my wife, where I would see people have multiple sex partners in a week. And it's like, you know, so
right,
like,
right.
Your age is what you make it,
mm-hmm.
you know, so... So you're 33.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Make 33 what you want 33 to be.
I'm going to make 33 the new 21.
Okay. I don't know if that's the greatest takeaway, but
no,
okay.
But I think that I've definitely matured in the sense where my mindset is a little bit different. I mean, obviously that's a given.
Mm-hmm.
Where I guess there's different levels, right? So on different perspectives or different contexts.
Yes.
So when it comes to work and career-wise, I feel like I've had matured in the sense where I know what I want to do now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm almost – I want to take a leap of stepping out there and becoming my own person, my own – honestly, I want to become my own businessman.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not gonna do it this year, but I think next year I'm definitely gonna take my take my leap. I don't want to jinx myself and anything. But this summer has given me a little bit more insight of what it is to be a business person,
mm-hmm.
and it really does suck, to be honest, because it is very stressful. And I'm not even dealing with half of the shit that probably my brother's dealing with, where right. he's, and in a sense we're not dealing with it in a way where. What's the word I'm looking for? The money that we make off of the business, the family farm, mm-hmm. it's not like we're dependent on that money.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, because we have our own jobs. but it's definitely a good source of income that we can definitely pay down some of the farm debts.
Right.
And so what I think I noticed is that I'm a little bit more intuitive. That's like the second fucking big word that I used today.
Very nice.
I'm more farm intuitive than I thought. You know what I'm saying? Like the other day, I did some things at the farm that way over your head. Sorry, no offense.
I mean, produce farmers, but whatever.
Fruit farmers, but
potato.
I was actually a little proud of myself. Where I'm like, I know how to do this, and then one of my brothers, and no offense to him or anything like that, but he was a little off on it.
Was he butthurt about it?
No, it was cool. It was cool. But I just felt like a little bit, I want to say smarter, but I was just like, you know what? Like, he was getting, and this is the biggest thing, right? And this is my takeaway from it. It's not necessarily because I was smarter, because I'm not, but I was a little bit more, what's the word I'm looking for? More tolerant, more, he was going to give up almost right away. Mm. So he was less
patient.
There you go, and I'm just like, man, there has to be a way where we can figure this shit out. So ultimately, what we're doing is we're getting our harvester, we're getting it to work, right? And first of all, we didn't know how to hook it up correctly, right? So that was the biggest problem.
That sounds like a problem.
Yeah. So we finally figured out. And my original thought was the fact that the cables that go to the battery weren't properly connected, so I was like, you know what, let's invert them and see if that's the way it works. Cause the only reason I remember that is because I used to have a huge problem on how to connect the when my battery got drained, on how to fucking like get the motherfuckers connected
and to jump it.
Yeah. So that's how I kind of remember, like, hey, maybe if you invert them, because you might have them opposite. That would be, and they say, no, it doesn't have anything to do with the battery, you know, because the stuff was working properly. Most of it, not all of it, most of it was working properly. I was like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah, I think so. You know, I was like, all right, fuck it. And then I called my other brother. He was at work. He's like, well, did you check the wires? I was like, yeah. He's like, so they're connected. He's like, yeah. He's like, well, try the opposite. Sure enough, I tried the opposite and it started working. Everything started working, right? And we got that part situated, which I was like, you know what? I was kind of right in a sense, and even though I didn't mean to be right. And then we got out there to the field, and we're gonna start the harvester, blah blah. And then one of the conveyor belts didn't want to work.
Oh shit.
And my biggest thing was, like, we had done everything. We fucking rechecked everything, the wires, blah, blah. And I was like, bro, I think what's going on with this one is that it's stuck. It's, like, fucking, like, because I can hear it, everything moving. Like, the motor is moving, but it's stuck. It seems like it's, you know, I guess kind of locked. And he was already pretty much done. And I was like, and then finally, eventually, I can't remember how we did it, but it started moving a little bit, which gave me more hope, and then eventually it started moving more, and then, you know, that was like after an hour of fucking with it.
Nice.
Or so. But long story longer, I feel like I'm at my age, I feel like I'm more intuitive. Again, I'm going to use that word because I've remembered it. Where I feel like I can problem solve a lot of things. You know what I mean? So yeah. I think sooner or later, hopefully this next summer, I will make that leap where I can finally get kind of wing off the corporate tit.
Oh
yeah, if you know what I mean.
Excuse me. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think that's gonna wrap it up for so tonight. Too. So, Ricardo, give us a little bit more, one last bit of sage advice from your just starting of your 33rd year of life.
One great person once told me that you make your age what you want it to be. So if you're 33, you want to be 21. And if your lifestyle allows it, your pocket allows it, and your work allows it, go ahead and go for it. And if you're 33 and you're married and you have kids and your wife is not cool with it, then you probably shouldn't do that because you're going to be wifeless.
That was Gandhi, wasn't it?
Yes, yes. Okay, I mean, genius. He was bald. Or a little bald. Not what are you saying? No, I think that... No, I honestly think that as a person that has aged and matured, I honestly would say that as a 33-year-old, I've learned a lot. And if you're younger or older, never be afraid to learn more. Mm. I feel that a lot of older people, even like in their 40s and 50s, mm-hmm. I feel that they're afraid to be progressive, a progressive thinker. Not necessarily a politically wise, but just a progressive thinker. Mm. You know, just be open-minded to a lot of things. Mm. You know, just because A and B equals C doesn't mean that there's 8.45. I don't know. I don't know. You know what I mean. Kind of.
Yep. All right. Well, fuck. That is it for us tonight. Thank you for hanging out with us. We will see you next week.
Peace.